Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is your official spoiler warning. If you have not seen the Clemente arc of ER, and if you have avoided the last 3.5 months of ERorama, we have one more podcast that you won't want to listen to. And if you're not listening to us because you don't want ER season, you're a fuck. Anyway, this is your... No, that's okay.
It's fine that they...
Like, I don't want to be rude.
Yeah, you. How would you feel if I ruined Star Trek for you?
Yeah, I would be a little upset.
Yeah, and there are so many people like, what a loser.
Hey, I'm so sorry. If you are the one or two people that are currently watching ER and you're not listening because of that, this, you're not an idiot. If you're like, well, I'm not going to listen to it because I always meant to watch the Clemente arc on ER, that's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But if you're watching all of ER, hey, no judgment here. This is just a spoiler warning. You do with that what you will.
Good. Peace. I hate the word.
Hello everyone and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, or shall I say ERorama, and it is our final episode
of ERorama.
Of ERorama, to be very clear, not Leguizamarama. This podcast is going to go for fucking ever. Johnny Legs won't stop
just
making
Just take a
shit.
Break, man.
Can you take a break so that we can finish this podcast? What happened? Do you know what's going to be really annoying is when we finally do get to the end of this podcast, he's going to release something fucking amazing.
It's like the laundry, Mish.
Mm.
You know how, here's what my existential crisis around doing laundry is, I don't do the laundry naked.
Mm.
So there will always be laundry.
Yes.
There will always be laundry.
The worst is when you do laundry at night. Because you put in a load of laundry and then you piss about for an hour and then you're like, oh, I've got to get changed. And you're wearing Nickies. And it's like, well, I've got some dirty Nickies and I don't know what to do with these dirty Nickies now because all my Nickies are in the wash. So now
laundry.
I've got to put this in the bottom of the basket and there's just going to be dirty Nickies in the
it's
bottom
like
of my basket.
If to do the dishes, you had to wear plates.
Yeah.
It's like it's so never. There's never a sense of finality with laundry.
Mm. I think that we'll never really truly stop doing this podcast because Johnny Legs just keeps making stuff. It's very similar to working in sex work.
Why?
Because once you start in sex work, the money is so good that often when you try and retire from sex work, you find yourself going back to sex work.
Not saying though that the money is good. This,
to be very, very clear, the money that we
John
make...
John Leguizamo themed podcast, the money is not great.
It makes us crumbs, mate. But we enjoy doing it. I'm saying it's like the love for Johnny Legs is the money.
My dream for this podcast, and don't quote me on this when we announce that we're wrapping it up in 6 months.
Yeah.
My dream for this podcast is we catch up.
Yeah.
And then it's just something we record 5 times a year.
Yeah, that'd be...
Because that's what
dream.
He does. Every time he does a new thing, we'll get together, do a podcast, add it to the RSS feed.
Yeah. Oh, that's the dream. To be very clear, I don't work and never have worked in sex work. Not that there's anything wrong with
I don't
that.
Think, I don't think you should have to say that. Don't say that.
No, I'm happy to.
No, I know you're happy to. But you shouldn't say that because there's no shame in it.
I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed.
But you said you had to clarify that you didn't do it.
No, just because I could imagine people be
See,
like...
I'm going to leave it a mystery if I've been a sex worker or not.
Well, now you've made it really clear that you are a sex worker because you're very defensive of the industry. I'm also quite defensive of the industry, but I've never been a sex worker. Mm. I think I've got friends who have worked in sex work. I personally have not. I'm not ashamed.
I'm not going to say whether or not I have or not as in solidarity.
With your brothers and sisters and friends.
With sex workers.
Yeah.
Maybe I have, maybe I haven't.
All right, fair enough.
I would not make a lot of money. as a sex worker.
I would. I'm niche. So are you, actually. You would.
No.
Yes, you would. You don't think that you would, but you actually would. No. Take it from someone who works in sex work.
I saw an interview with a sex worker once, and they said it's hard for men because they all have to be really buff.
Yeah, that's
because
probably
it's
fair.
It's a different kind.
I'm a niche. Have you ever heard of something called squashing or squishing?
Mm-hmm.
I would love to. You've heard of it?
I just love.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I would love to know how to get involved in it because it sounds great. It's where you get a large person, usually a woman,
mm-hmm.
Or female presenting person. And they then sit on what is usually a man or male presenting person and they squish them with their body weight.
Mm.
And it's often used by athletes, often used. That's what they say. It's like, oh, no, this is because I'm an athlete or I like the gym and I like it's like a good strain on the muscle. But I think it's also probably a sexy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how I would find that kind of work.
Oh, sure.
I think it would pay good.
The internet, yeah.
I should look up. I
don't think
you'd
be big enough to be squishing.
I could squish.
How good
I could
you.
Squish. I'm like, I don't, like, I'm a big girl, but like a staffy, I'm heavier than I look. Like, you look at me and you go, that's a big bitch. And I am, but I weigh, like, numerically, my number, my weight is much higher than I look. Like, yeah, like a staffy.
Or like a sumo wrestler.
Excuse me.
Because they're all muscle.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not muscle at all. I'm just
Mish
dense.
Is
I'm just dense.
All muscle.
No, I'm not. I'm like a suitcase full of books. You don't think it would weigh that much, but it fucking does.
I just imagined you in the gym being like, and they're like having like 50 bowls of ramen every day.
That's the truth. That's really what I'm up to.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm so sorry. This is not why you guys tuned in to hear about
yes,
my...
Yes, it is.
All right. The problem
sorry.
Is.
No, what I should apologize about is I'm drinking a Coca-Cola, so there's a lot of...
Yeah, that's
going
so,
on.
That's,
and that's pretty...
That's fine. I haven't even had dinner yet. I'm so excited. When I get home, do you want to know what I'm having for dinner?
What?
I feel like a child. Roasted veggies.
Fuck yeah.
Roasted taties. My partner does a really good roasted tatty and does them whole. Like, you know how you chop them up to roast a tatty? That's how I roast my taties.
One chops them up.
I get a potato, like a regular washed potato, and I cut it into quarters when I roast. My partner does the whole tatty.
Wow.
Peels it and does the whole tatty, and they're really good. He puts them in the oven and roasts them with vinegar, red wine vinegar.
Okay.
It's off the chain.
That sounds really lovely, yeah.
So I've got roasted taties, roasted pumpkin, I think some snow peas,
yeah.
Not roasted, they're going to be steamed.
Mm-hmm, of course.
With some vegan chicken nuggets because I'm a child and I found them. I found my favourite chicken nuggets on special at Coles this week.
I love a nug.
Love a nug.
I love nugs.
Yeah, same. No, like no one doesn't like a nugget. If you don't like chicken or you don't eat chicken like myself, vegan chicken nuggets are so good.
That's great.
You've had the vegan chicken nuggets. They're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
I mean, it's there's a few foods where I go, it's odd to me that they're not just like as a rule vegan. Dim sims are in that category.
Yeah.
Do you know what blows my mind? It's really hard to get a good vegan hot dog. And that.
Oh, so hard.
And I'm like, why?
It's really hard.
There's nothing about that is particularly meaty. Mm. And I think that's just I think the science must be there.
It's
I think
be,
there
surely.
Would be good hot dogs out there.
Have you had a Beyond sausage?
But is it a hot dog?
No, it's a sausage.
I'm talking a plastic-skinned, squeaky hot dog.
Do you remember Little Boys? I don't even remember. They're still a thing.
Yeah,
they're not extinct.
Boys. Thank God you called it a Little Boy. You are my, like, I can't even think of what to describe you as, Mish.
Am I the Edie Sedgwick to your Andy Warhol?
Yeah, great. Love that. No, you're my, like, I know I'm sane. You know, you're my,
anchor.
My lifeline to sanity.
Well, not, what? Because I agree with you. Maybe we're both fucked.
No, good.
I don't
great.
Think it's that I'm sane.
Maybe,
you're
my
sane.
Enabler.
Yeah, I think I enable you, Zach.
Because
there's nothing wrong with little boys. Everyone calls them little boys.
Today at work, you were at Don, like at my job. This is not my job. This is my hobby.
Yeah, you watch it before this podcast is
when
not
I fuck
job.
Around with the other people, that's my job.
Sure,
and
yeah.
This is my hobby.
Yeah, yeah.
Funny to me, I don't know why. But anyway, you were there. You were in the office today, and for a thing, and then afterwards we were talking about something. Oh, so we were just over lunch talking about reality TV, and then I was like, I mentioned this show. I was like, does anyone here remember about 6 months before Survivor started, there was a British show on Channel 10 that was like boring Survivor, and it was like more realistic and everyone like had mysteries, but it was a lot more boring. And then, and I thought it was really interesting because it was like a drama, but it was real life because it was so early in the days of reality TV. And then Survivor came along and it was like, oh my God, it's like that show, but with games.
Yeah.
Do you remember that show?
Yeah, I think it was called Treasure Island.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Of course you do. Now, I'm sitting there and luckily Mark Bonanno from Auntie Donna remembered the show and he took it from there. But I was like, I was just like, what, how is Mish? Like, I need Mish. I'm here like flailing about, like trying to make conversation with people being like, do you remember that show from 20 years ago that ran for one season on Channel 10?
The best one ever where we both looked at each other and we're just like, oh, beautiful, was Changing Rooms. That show was the best. No, I will never, like, I'm sure we've told this story before. I'm so sure we've told the story, but let's do a little MasterChef flashback. There was this moment, this very, very quick. So I used to live with Zach. Everyone knows this now. I lived with him in 2010. And I didn't know him when I moved in with him. I mean, we were just kind of like doing getting to know you banter, haha, whatever. And at this point, MasterChef was up to season 2.
Yeah.
And I think
it was what you would call a cultural phenom.
And back in 2010, free-to-air TV was definitely a thing, right? Oh, that is what we watched when we ate our curried sausages or tuna pasta.
You'd come home from university. Like the idea, like I feel like a different generation.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think I'd come home from university and we as a university house would pop on the telly.
Yeah, we'd pop it on and it would be the news and then there'd be Simpsons and then Sam Lingham would put on his DVD box set of Skins. But then I remember saying, like, I hadn't been living there long enough and I didn't want to step on toes because we only had the one TV. And I was like, oh, do you reckon we could pop on Channel 10 at 7:30? I'm really interested in watching MasterChef. And I look across the room and Zach's blue eyes hit my blue eyes and we both
fucked.
And we were fucked from then on because it was just this deep understanding of not only do we like MasterChef, we love MasterChef.
I didn't say we were fucked, I said we fucked.
Oh, and then Zach and I fucked.
We didn't
but
fuck.
After we fucked, we did some pillow talk about MasterChef. We didn't fuck.
We've never fucked.
We've never fucked. We've never come close to fucking.
No, we've never come close to fucking.
Yeah. I've never once considered the concept of fucking, is that? To be very, very clear.
Thank you.
But we do both love MasterChef. And if only I could find someone to fuck that loves MasterChef.
No, you don't need that. You don't need that in your life. You know, you fuck the ones you love.
Mm.
You talk MasterChef with that guy you do podcasts with once a week. And hey, if you want to hear more about MasterChef, you should check out our first podcast, Recaps with Mish and Zach.
Have you listened to it recently?
It's available wherever you get your podcasts. It's a great podcast.
People still listen to it.
I would say go and listen to it. If you haven't, it's very funny. Much more like there's a joke to it, which is that the joke is that we're watching MasterChef in real time.
In 2009.
It's very funny.
It's really funny.
If we could ever be fucked, which we can't, we might one day revisit the recaps concept.
It's the funniest idea that I've ever had with Zach. Like, Zach and I had it together. But it's the funniest. Still, the thought of it makes me smile, which in itself is so nice because we did that podcast for like 2 years.
Mm.
And I still, the concept of it is so funny to me. It makes me want to do it again.
We should. I mean, what the fuck are we doing
mental?
Here?
Because when we got to the end of recaps, we were just like, let's never do recaps again.
Yeah.
That killed us. But now that time has passed and all I've done is watch ER for the last 3.5 months, I'm now like, oh, I'd fucking
love to do a recap. Do you know what? Like, this is, here's the thing, right? Leguizamarama, for me as a human being, has been better.
Oh, 100%.
It's 100%. Opened me up. It's re-exposed me to genres of films I hadn't watched for a long time. Like, I'm well back into, like, genre films thanks to this.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, my appreciation for casting, for actors, for, like, so many things, and for films. Like, I'm back on films. Like, I feel like I love films, but this has really gotten me back into, like, what I'm, like...
Oh, 100%. Because it's often I find, like, when I sit down to watch television, or it's like I should watch a movie, I end up watching trash or I end up on my phone. Whereas this project that I'm doing with you, Zach, Tom, can you put some really like meaningful, lovely
music? Actually, Tom, don't worry about it. I'm going to do it.
Okay. This project that I've done with you, Zach, has allowed me to watch film because I feel like I have to. And it's reignited my love for film I've never seen before.
That's great.
Yeah, that was good.
For me, do you know what it's done for me?
Do you want me to do the music?
No, that will be very distracting.
No, I'm going to do it.
For me, Mish, what happened is I got so in my head and about the films I should be watching, that I should be engaging with. And I'd be sitting there, and I love a great film. You know, The Passion of St. Joan, the phenomenal silent film, is one of my favourite movies of all time. But what this has taught me to do is just get back to enjoying movies. You want to watch a weekly that has a bad score on Rotten Tomatoes? Watch it, man, and have a blast. My passion for film is back. And it also has helped me be more positive, because the off chance that John Leguizamo might be listening.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? I don't think he has. I don't think he gives a shit. I think he knows about us and probably... I reckon... At this stage, I can say comfortably, he has said to someone in his life, whether it's someone in his family, a manager, a mate, someone, there's a podcast about me.
Yeah.
I reckon he said that.
It's so funny.
And it might even be, there's a podcast about me, two people from Australia.
Yeah.
It might have even gone that far.
Do you know, maybe.
And they release them every week because he likes every post we put up.
Do you know what I think, where I think it's come up? I reckon, like, maybe there was a conversation about whether he should tour to Australia and someone's gone, do you have a, or like, should, like he, maybe he's done a live show and they've talked touring, should we tour it outside of America? And someone's gone, do you have a following in the UK? And he goes, well, maybe, you know, do you have a following here? Maybe. And they're like, do you have a following in Australia? He's like, I couldn't say. There is a podcast about me there. And they'd go, oh.
I reckon even more so it's like he found out about it, or like he saw it and like one of his kids walked past and was just like, do you listen to podcasts?
Because
Johnny Legs doesn't. He's been on a couple. He was on Conan. He's done a couple of podcasts. He'd be like, there's one about me.
Yeah.
That's what I reckon's happened.
Yeah.
And his kids were probably just like, oh, that's cool.
I think it's like,
can I have 10 grand?
Flattering.
He was like, weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I live in like I don't know where he lives, and I don't want to know. That's
weird. No. We don't want to know that stuff.
But the fact that he might be listening has shifted my view of things to be more positive, and that's been so healthy because everyone's so negative about shit now. If they don't like a movie, it's not just enough to be like, I didn't care for that movie. It's not just enough to be like, I liked all of these things, but it didn't work for me.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I hated that movie, and here's all the reasons why I hated it.
Yeah.
And I've gotten very sucked into that, and I'm so glad I'm, like, out of that fucking slipstream.
Yeah, 100%.
Because it's like, these are the 10 reasons why this movie sucked. And then you know how, like, people start, like, saying things that they probably liked about the movie, but they just, like, flip it around?
Mm-hmm.
Where they go, like, I really like that actor, and they're really good in the film, but they're completely wasted.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you just say, I really like that actor, and they're really good in that film? Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't like the film because...
The big turning point for me was when we watched The Take. I don't remember what number episode that was, but when we did The Take, it was like I saw the cover and was like, okay, I bet this is going to be shit.
Yeah.
And I went into it going, this is going to be one of his shitty, middling thrillers. It's going to suck. And it was so – it's still in my top five Johnny Legs movies that I hadn't seen previously.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Does that make sense? So yes. I've got a top five, and they're all movies I'd seen before we started the podcast. But easily The Take is in my top five Johnny Legs projects that I had not seen before I started the podcast.
Top five Johnny Legwa discoveries. Johnny Legwa Leguiscoveries.
Leguiscoveries.
Leguiscoveries. Yeah, totally. Yeah. And you know what? There's also been so much to like... Watching a movie that he did like in the 90s that's pretty good,
mm.
and I watch it and I go, that was good. Mm. It was a good way to pass a couple of hours. And being like that's fine,
mm.
and you don't have to dig any further.
Mm.
And the way we like talk incessantly about Marvel movies, me the boys.
Yeah, when you say we, you mean you.
We the boys.
Yeah, you the boys.
We the boys, the men, the 30-year-old men. We love to just talk around and around and around and around and around. And it's like they're all fine. They're all pretty good. They're fun.
Mm.
Stop asking it to be great.
Yeah.
Stop pretending that it's shit.
Yeah.
It's really good, talented people that are good at what they do, doing something fine.
Yeah.
That's that conversation done.
Yeah.
Stop being like, oh, it should have been brilliant. Why? What evidence have you ever been given that this was going to be brilliant? Or the flip of it, which is like, oh, that's actually brilliant the way the superhero flies around.
Oh, God. Zach.
Yeah.
I have so thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with you.
It's been fantastic.
But at not one point have we mentioned why we're here.
You were meant to throw to me.
I know. I forgot to throw to you.
No, it was my fault. I started talking. All right, Mish, why are we here? I'll tell you why we're here.
Yeah, it's like, don't throw to me. I don't know.
This is the Iara Rama wrap up. Iara Rama wrap up,
I think is it.
Yeah, that's better. But yeah. I think Iara wrap up.
Iara wrap up.
It's like it's combining Iara Rama and wrap up as though ER doesn't exist as a word. It's the Iara wrap up.
Anyway,
so this is the Iara wrap-up. We felt we've just done three and a half months
of ER.
Which has been a delight.
I was not looking forward to it.
No.
I really wasn't because I was like, this is going to be some bullshit.
It's going to add this, if we do this for all of them, this is going to add like a year and a half to this project.
Oh, yeah. No, we can't. We have to watch all of Bloodline.
Bloodline season 2.
And 3.
He's not in season... Oh, he's in 3?
He's in 3.
I still love the idea of not watching season 1.
I would hate that. I can't not watch season 1 of a show like that. Then we have literally no idea what's going on.
That's funny.
All right. We'd like... I will put it to the listener.
No, they're going
to
choose the funny thing. Trust me on this. If you want to watch episode 1, we keep it in-house.
Like season 1.
If you want to watch season 1, we keep it in-house. And we because if you throw it to them, they'll choose the funny thing.
I have to watch season 1 of Bloodline.
But do you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny for like,
it would be, but I wouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah, but they will, the listener. We're not doing this for us. We're doing it for... Nah, fuck you.
We are doing this for us.
If we were doing it for you, we would have kept doing recaps.
Exactly. We would be on season 3 of Australian Idol by now.
Ah, we should go back. We should do recaps.
Yeah, essentially we will. Basically, we just wanted to do a big, because it was such a big 3.5 months and it just felt weird ending it like we did last week.
Mm.
We're going to do a proper wrap up of what happened and what ER has meant to us.
We want you to think of this. It's not dissimilar to a regular episode, but what we're doing is we're looking at the entire Clemente era of ER as a single thing. We're going to give it a Leguistamo rating right at the end. Do I know what that rating is?
No.
No, I don't.
I haven't thought about it.
Do I know what I'm going to say for the next 20 to 25 minutes?
No.
No, haven't thought about that. We just felt it would be a good idea to look at it in a holistic sense because those network writers sure as hell didn't.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
let's just start off with it being the most insane roller coaster of a character arc ever.
Imagine if someone cut... Don't do this. Sometimes we say things like, imagine, and we're like hoping for the little Photoshop job. Don't do this.
because I won't watch it. It will be a waste of your time. If you're listening and you're like,
I know what you're about to say. Do not do this.
Do not do it, because I'm not going
to
watch
it. What Zach's about to say is the most fucked up thing. And if you do this, as much as it's like, whoa, we appreciate that you did that,
we'll post
our first
about it.
Thought will be this person's so fucked.
Like, it'll be funny.
So funny.
But I'm not going to, no one's going to watch it. So it would be a waste of your time.
Yeah, it would be a big waste of your time.
If you want to do anything, make a little picture for us and we'll share it.
Yeah, I'd love a picture.
Maybe we'll share it.
What's the thing that would be funny?
I don't
want
to promise anything on that Instagram. So, because I don't help.
Oh, I look, that's another thing. Like, we're jumping all over the place now. I run the Instagram and I know it's been fucking pitiful.
But as I said that, it sounded like a swipe. The issue is I don't help with it. Shouldn't have started it. Maybe we should start a TikTok.
Anyway, what was the funny thing that someone could do?
Edit it all together.
Don't do that. Don't do it.
Because what a fucking roller coaster that would be.
Oh, my God. It's insane. So he comes in and he's this quick-thinking, sharp, stern doctor who pretends he's dying to see what his staff will do. And he introduces himself, I'm Victor Clemente and you just killed me.
Yeah, wow. What,
a way to... And so it was just like hit in the face. And I instantly think he's going to be a cunt. This guy's going to be the cunt of the season and he's going to be stern. But in my head I was like, no, but he's going to have this soft side that comes out. When he brings in the baby monkey, I was like, here it is. Here's the soft side. And it was this wonderful, wonderful like punch in the guts. Clemente is here. And then what happened?
Well, so, because I was expecting the same thing. That's a great question. What were you expecting out of that first episode? I was expecting an Aaron Sorkin-esque.
Yes.
He's a cunt. Or in the case of the Nicole Kidman-Lucy one.
Yeah.
She's a cunt. But usually he's a cunt. But gosh dang it, he gets results.
Yeah.
That's the Aaron Sorkin arc 90% of the time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Jeez, he's a cunt. Yeah, but don't I get results?
Yeah.
God damn it, you do.
You do get the results.
2.5 hours of that.
Yeah.
You watch any Aaron Sorkin. No, 90% of Aaron Sorkin stuff is that. And that's what I was expecting. I was expecting, God, he's a cunt, but he's right. Because that, you know, that energy of like, I got all these new ideas. He loved his new ideas. Mm-hmm. But I thought there would also be a bit of an arc of him learning. You know, you've got all these cool ideas. You read all these books. You do all this, but here in Chicago, at this ER, sometimes you have to like,
yeah,
you know,
you got to put your foot down.
That's great that you love the books, but right now we got to save this kid's life.
Absolutely, that's what we thought. But then, very quickly after that, he became an odd, cheeky, borderline sex pest where he started making weird sexual jokes at every single female at the hospital.
Was this the monkey episode? Was
bit
this
after, around the same bit time? After.
Because the monkey episode was certainly...
that was his second episode.
That was... We had not established enough of this character. I think it was the second.
It was the second or the third. We had not established enough before he brought in a baby monkey.
We were still building our image of Clemente and I think this was meant to be a turn.
Yeah.
But it was like, I'm just folding this into who I think Clemente is.
Yeah.
So he's a cunt that gets results but has a soft spot for monkeys. And then he's also a cheeky sex pest.
Yeah. And then around about the sex pest time, it's very clear that Johnny Legs had to go and do Ice Age or something.
Yeah.
Because he's only there for 5 minutes an episode, often making sexual jokes at the expense of the women at the hospital.
Mm.
And then every once in a while having a fight with Practical Magic. There was that whole...
There was a bit of that, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was this, like, weird little tension between him and Practical Magic, which ended really oddly, was just kind of went, oh, we'll just do it this way. Okay, handshake. And then Practical Magic was the head of the ER.
Yeah, now Practical Magic. I think as well...
Now
he's a baby daddy.
Yeah.
I think as well another issue is you can't... Sometimes watching a movie or a show, particularly an ensemble show, where you've put all the weight behind one character, makes a lopsided viewing experience, and it's purely in the behold. the Beholder. I think every character's arc, if we look at any character in this show, I'm sorry to cut it off, we'll get back to what happens.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I think if you look at any character's arc over these 13 episodes, any one of them, from Practical Magic
to
Bend It Like Beckham, any and all of them have the wildest fucking arcs.
Oh, my God. Can I just say, I just remembered then, just whatever happened to Uncle Jesse from Full House and Bend It Like Beckham? Remember how Uncle Jesse was a paramedic and they were like, what happened there?
Uncle Jesse.
Where's Uncle Jesse?
Where's Uncle Jesse?
Uncle Jesse pops up as a paramedic in one episode, a really full-on one.
And then, like, Beckham was going to become... No, was she going to become a paramedic, or was she just doing ride-along?
Just doing ride-along. But she was like, oh, I'm married. And then her husband rocks up and Uncle Jesse's like, well, I'll be back. There's very much that, like, they're gonna bone.
Mm.
Bend It Like Beckham and Uncle Jesse are going to bone. And then he just never comes back. And then she has this whole other arc with her husband. It's like he doesn't exist.
I reckon, do you want to know my theory? And this applies to John Leguizamo as well. I reckon they were in the latter seasons and they were just like casting, like they were like, if we can get Uncle Jesse from Full House, oh my God.
Mm.
If we can get that guy from Moulin Rouge.
Oh, 100%.
Oh my God. And then they've come to them with that as their playing card. Like, fuck, we'll do anything to get you on the show.
Mm.
And then they've come back with, I'm not available. And then they've gone, that's fine.
Do you reckon they really had to work that hard to get Uncle Jesse?
No, but I think they played all their cards at once.
Oh, I understand.
I think they were like, Uncle Jesse, we want you in this show and real bad. And he said, well, I'm only available these dates. And they said, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
And the producers did that. And then they just like threw that at the writers. And they're like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
We get Uncle Jesse for 3 episodes?
Yeah.
Why did...
But you have to make him a love interest. It's part of the
comic. Why do you do this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just wait till we bring you... Until we get Fold Tucci in. What are you fucking talking about? And I think that's what they've done. And I think that this show was a series of moving puzzle pieces for the writers. And they've just... went with it.
Oh, absolutely. The concept of the writer's room for ER is they have a sign that says just go with it.
I think
they do. They have a sign that's massive and everything they ever learnt at writing school, everything they ever learnt at university, they've had to throw out the window. And every time they're just like, this doesn't make sense, they have to look up and read together, just go with it.
I think the writer's room of ER, I imagine it to be as hectic and as crazy and as, like, kinetic as the ER itself that we see on the show.
Absolutely.
I imagine there's 50 writers 100%. And everyone walking around. I also think they have a mantra of, that's for the next episode.
Oh, yeah.
So I reckon someone was like, I reckon Bend It Like Beckham and Uncle Jesse should have a thing.
Yeah.
And then I reckon some intern or some, like, writing assistant was like, but wait a second. Isn't Uncle Jesse, like, wrapping up after that episode for the season? And they were just like, haven't you heard? Just leave it till the next episode. But also
there could be that element of, we could get them next season. We're chatting with their agent at the moment and he might come back. Like, he has a big free spot next year. So let's leave his story arc just super open.
Yeah.
Super open because he might come back.
Yeah, I think there's just like we've got to leave it open.
Mm. He's doing Fuller House. In 10 years' time.
There's a lot of talk of doing Fuller House.
They keep talking about Fuller House.
But between now and Fuller House.
Yeah.
Do you know what I realised the other day? Oh, this is one of those podcasts. Do you know what I...
It was one of those podcasts about 10 minutes in.
What I realised the other day is Brady Bunch, the movie.
Yep.
The distance between Brady Bunch, the TV show, and Brady Bunch, the movie, I think that show was in the 70s, right? It ran until the 70s.
Yes.
So the distance between the Brady Bunch TV show and the Brady Bunch, the movie, was about 20 years, which is now the distance between Friends and now.
Oh, my God.
And I just thought, could you imagine if you did Friends, the movie, with a whole new cast?
Oh my God, that's made me feel fucked up.
Isn't that like fucking wild? I would have always said this. The movie with a whole new cast.
You know the question of, is there any movie where the sequel is better than the first movie?
Yeah.
And there's only very few examples. In my opinion, the Brady Bunch, the second movie, is better than the first.
Fuck, I just rewatched the first one.
Yeah.
And I've been tossing up whether I should rewatch the second one.
The second one is so campy and just it's delicious. Yeah,
it stops. It kind of, from memory, and I do not remember. So I'm saying from memory, and I don't remember. But from memory, it's less invested in the contrast of the Bradys being in the 90s, and it just goes into the fucked world of the Bradys.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
It does, and they have just a couple of elements of people from the 90s being like, what the fuck is wrong with all of you? And then being like, woohoo.
Do you know what was wild? When I rewatched... I think I may have talked about this. When I rewatched The Brady Bunch, I was like, who is the neighbor? The wife? I'm like, she is so funny.
It's Kim... isn't it Kim Cattrall?
No. It's... I can't remember her name, but the actress from Hacks. Have you seen Hacks?
Isn't it Kim Cattrall?
No. It's not.
This whole time. That's a Mandela effect moment.
No, well, what's crazy, right?
The one is like, why don't you boys come inside and I'll make you a sandwich.
Because it does make sense that it'd be Kim Cattrall. No, it's, I can't remember her name, but she's having a real moment at the moment. She was in...
I know exactly who you're Watchmen, talking about.
Watchmen, she's in Hacks. Yeah,
I know exactly who you're talking about. And
it
was
this thing of like, I watched it and I'm like, who is this person? She's amazing. Why isn't she in more things? And then just suddenly it's like the rest of the world thought the same thing.
Jean Smart.
Like maybe Brady Bunch, the movie, was on Netflix a couple of years back and everyone else had the same thought of just
maybe.
Fuck, we got to make... She's so good in that movie.
In Brady Bunch?
She's so fucked up. Funny. She wants to fuck Greg. That's really poor.
It's really funny. We should jump back into his story arc.
Yes, yeah, come on, so baby.
After he did his weird like sexual jokes like 5 minutes per episode. Mm-hmm. Then we jump into mysterious Clemente with a secret past.
Yes,
because in comes the ex-girlfriend or lover named Jody.
Yes,
and they're like, "Oh, something's happened in your past, and I'm back." And then they fuck at the hospital.
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, you keep talking, but my dog is making weird noises in the next room. Just like banging shit.
So we've got Clemente. Zach's just gone to go check on his dog, so I'm just going to talk at you guys for a bit.
What? She's doing this thing. She's doing this thing where we give her a Kong. You know Kongs? They're like stuffed rubber toys and you stuff...
Food in them,
mushy food. And she's figured out if she takes it in her mouth and throws it in the air, when it lands on the floor, it spills out food.
Yeah, my dog realized that with toys as well. He's so broken funny. So many treat toys.
Like, but it's also like I gave her the Kong to keep her quiet while we were doing this, and now she's like throwing it around the house.
So my dog requires quite a bit of stimulation. Mm. So I was told by multiple professionals to get him a whole bunch of enrichment toys, which are like toys that you stuff treats in and then they have to kind of do a puzzle to get them out. I'm like, yeah, great, I'll do that. I spent an obscene amount of money on these toys to only give them to my dog that within 30 seconds he realized that if he picks it up in his mouth and smashes it against a wall, it breaks and all the treats come out.
Do you know, there's a lot of people listening right now that are going, well, that's an enrichment because he figured that out.
Well, that's cool. That was an enrichment that cost me $242 one day.
Yeah, don't do the ones that break.
No, don't do those. So, anyway,
Clemente has a lover.
He has a lover and she's married to a crooked cop.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the whole wire thing.
And so they, yeah. And
just goes full the wire.
Full the wire. And then they decide that they're in love, even though the first episode she's back, it's very clear that they're very hostile towards each other. That they then all of a sudden they're in love. But not only are they in love, but they're junkies. This is like, dude, you can't make this shit up. So they run away. Like, he's a doctor. He's a surgeon. He's a well-paid man. But for some reason, when he runs away with his misso, they get a danky shit apartment somewhere, strip naked and just snort drugs off each other's naked bottoms.
Well, quoting Shakespeare, which is a bit of a thing with legs. That he loves quoting Shakespeare.
Yeah, he was quoting Shakespeare. Anyway, then he nearly gets shot by her crazy husband.
Yeah.
And then they're all like, oh, I reckon it was Johnny Legs. It could have been Johnny Legs that did it. He could have Zach's dog has now come in here and just decided to make a bloody ruckus. Mabel, you all right, babe?
She wants to get under the blanket.
Do you want me to put the blanket on you?
Yeah, you keep talking. I'll find a blanket for her. Mabel, well, you're ruining our podcast.
She's cold. She just had a bath.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then we get Clemente trying to get his life back, but he can't sleep because the crazy ex-husband is tormenting him by sending him dead stuff. And then he has a full-on psychotic breakdown. So this is what, that's the arc. That is the arc of Clemente. Tell me that is not the craziest character arc that you've ever heard of. But that being said, if we decided we wanted to follow Bendit like Beckham's character arc, we'd probably find it equally as insane. If we decided we wanted to follow Uncle Jesse and do a podcast like completely dedicated to Uncle Jesse, then that's equally as insane. I don't know. ER character arcs are wobbly and beautiful and I love them, but now I have officially broken down inside, but also I've broken down Victor Clemente's
What a wild arc. Journey.
Sorry, Tom, you can cut this next bit.
I should describe what happened. She likes getting under a blanket. She was just digging a hole, like she was trying to dig under the blanket on her bed. And I put the blanket on her, so she just started walking around like a spooky ghost with the blanket on her.
Are we cutting that part?
Nah, fine.
Fuck it. Anyway.
You can follow Mabel on her Instagram.
That is our official breakdown of ER.
Fucking hell.
Do you have any final thoughts, Zach?
One, thank God we didn't watch it in one go like the original plan. Two.
Oh my God, that would have killed me.
Two. I've really enjoyed watching one thing.
Mm.
And I'm not anticipating having to watch 2-hour movies again.
Mm.
Three, I love the ER and I love watching a bit of network television, and I really get why people watch network television.
Mm. I do have a question that we can cut this bit, but we don't have to.
No.
This is a genuine question because I want to know what they would like. With Bloodline, for example, would you like us to do a podcast episode per episode of Bloodline, or would you like us to kind of break it into like 4-episode parts, which we can do, but it will take longer?
Yeah, that's a great question.
That's a genuine question because we've loved doing ER. I'm not apologising to anyone. He's like, that was shit and I was wanting the pest. Like, I don't care. We enjoyed ER.
Can I just
say... Do you want the same kind of... do you want a Bloodline-orama?
Bloodline-orama. Hmm. And to all those people saying, have you guys done The Pest yet? No, we haven't done Chef yet. My favourite John Leguizamo movie.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done Romeo and Juliet yet.
We have. We did that with Zoe Kunzma.
Oh, that's great. If we were to do them all at once, then there would be nothing left. We're trying to spread them out.
We're spreading them out.
I listen sometimes to a podcast about Disneyland rides. They haven't done Haunted Mansion yet.
And, well, here's a fun fact. Here's a little spoiler. We will be watching Summer of Sam soon.
Have you just made that call?
Yes, I really want to watch it.
Yeah, thanks. I'm glad.
Yeah, you happy with that? Yeah, we'll watch Summer of Sam soon, and I won't tell the listeners now, but I'll tell you later the person who's asked if they can do that with us.
Oh, great.
Yeah, there is a specific
very exciting
comedian who has asked if they can do that movie with us. Leguistamos, shall we?
Yeah.
All right, so we're giving a Leguistamo for the whole Victor Clemente experience.
The what I like to call the Clemente era.
I am going to give it 4.5 Leguistamos because with an incredibly wobbly character arc, you get so many Leguizamos.
Yeah.
And we saw an array of Leguizamo. We saw him do a bit of comedy. Mm-hmm. We saw him do the drama, which I love so much. There was even that weird horror 5 minutes that we got at one point.
Love that.
It was just full Leguizamo, and every single time he was on screen, he stole it and he smashed it, and I'm so proud of him for getting that role. So 4.5 from me.
Mish, I'm so glad that we've done this ER-orama recap because I think that this is a strange thing. As I've talked through the Clemente era,
mm-hmm.
where in a strange way, when you look at the whole,
mm.
it's greater than the sum of its parts for exactly the reasons you were just describing. I think you captured it perfectly. And if I were to dig in too much, I think I'd just repeat what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
In moments, episode by episode, where I'd say, where's the consistency? Why are we doing this now? Where are we going? Oh, I was hoping for a better this, that, and the other. What I didn't realize is we were building a tapestry, a collage, absolutely, if you will. A one where you break up the a mosaic,
mm-hmm,
where you break up the tiles. This is what we were building.
Mm-hmm.
When you follow it linearly, like a story,
mm-hmm,
like, you know, what we were being sold,
yep,
doesn't work.
No.
When you watch it episode by episode and you don't focus so much on one character, it does work. But I'll tell you when it really shines is when you step back and you look at it where, like God looking at his creation, you look at the start and the end as though it were one.
Jesus Christ.
Not through time, but as a single thing. And what I saw was one of the most complex, whole, fascinating, interesting performances by John Leguizamo.
Whew.
He had big dick jokes.
Big
he
dick
jokes.
He
quoted Shakespeare. Mm. He did horror. He snorted cocaine off a sexy Italian woman's butt.
Mm-hmm.
He did everything you could possibly want and more, and that is why I am giving the entire arc 5 Leguizamos.
It's not a Leguizamo rhyme, though. I'm sorry.
I wish I'd spoken first.
Yeah,
because I could have swayed you.
Yeah, look, no, it doesn't get a full 5 from me, but it's a really solid 4.5. Cool. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week with our 100th episode.
And in true Mission Zag style, we have not planned anything big for it.
But we're going to talk about it now. Tom, what should he play us out with this week? Something about goodbye, because we're not going to watch it. Play Goodbye, My Lover by James Blunt.
Yeah.
All right, everyone.
Tom, if you can get the vocal track of Goodbye, My Lover,
mm-hmm,
and just the vocal track, and that's not hard to do, the vocal track of Goodbye, My Lover over the ER theme would be my number one preference.
Jesus Christ.
But if you can't easily access the vocal, I don't need,
if it's
it doesn't
not
need
easily
to make
accessible,
work. It does not need to work musically.
If it's not easily accessible, Tom, I want you to just read the lyrics for us.
Over the ER theme tune.
Over the ER theme tune. All right, see you later, guys. Bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been the one for me. Goodbye, my lover. Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. You have been.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.